So last week we began the topic of Bechira Chafshis. We started off by studying the Rambam, who writes about the Hachreach, how the notion of free will is fundamental to any form of religious service. We began dealing with a number of reasons or questions about free will. Primarily, we focused on the issue of divine foreknowledge, and how can there be divine foreknowledge and at the same time free will. We saw that the Rambam answered essentially that the question is based on a false premise that the term knowledge is equivalent with respect to humans as it is with respect to God. That's not the case. Divine knowledge is different than human knowledge. One is intrinsic, one is extrinsic, and therefore, while it might be true that with respect to our knowledge there is a contradiction, with respect to God's knowledge there is not. We saw the Ravid critique the Rambam. First of all, methodologically, he was opposed. You shouldn't ask a question that you can't fully answer. Second of all, he thought that the answer was that he did give was insufficient. And he gave a slightly different approach. Wasn't so clear what the Ravid was saying, but it seemed like the possibility might exist that to some degree he was limiting foreknowledge in favor of free will. Then we saw the approach of the Rivash. We suggested perhaps what the Rivash was answering was essentially that there's a distinction between necessary knowledge and accidental knowledge, that the presumption of the question is false because it assumed that even if something is necessarily true, it's the same as it being true. So if God knows what's going to happen, we can't at the same time freely choose. And the Rivash said, no, God knows what we're going to freely choose ahead of time. It could have been different, but it's not.
Necessary knowledge and what?
Accidental knowledge. Today, we're going to go on this topic. We're not going to spend so much more time on the question of divine foreknowledge and free will, though we will finish it up and talk about other components of free will and tshuva as well. So again, for those who came in late, we're using the same packets as last week. If anyone needs one, here's an extra copy. And there's a sign-up sheet that's going around. Okay. The classical answer to the contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will, at least the one that is the simplest to understand, the one that I remember being told at the youngest age, is the notion that because God exists outside of time, because God created time, therefore the question is wrong. The question presumes that if somebody exists within time, so then if I know in advance, there can't be freedom. However, that's not the case. God created time. He's the source for time. He doesn't exist within time. He's not limited by time. Who gives that answer? So one place where this could be found is in the Medrash Shmuel and Avos Per Gimel, Mishnah Chaf Aleph. The Medrash Shmuel was written by Rav Shmuel ben Yitzchak Ozida, 16th century Tzfas. And he writes very simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki hu eino tachas hazman. Likewise, the Tosfos Yantif over there quotes from Rav Haram al-Mishenu. He calls it a Terutz Mechudad. But essentially this answer, she'eino b'chei kazman. If you look, is this a simple answer? In many ways it is the simplest answer. If you look, however, at the Or Sameach in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, he critiques this answer. It's quoted here in your source books. Essentially his critique is the following: that it's still something which is unintuitive. Meaning to say that if I try to imagine, his example is somebody, Ledimyon, Kishaholech Adam Livol Eshes Ish, Ola Haroges Chavero, Bechain Asa, Nishal Im Yodea Habore Mizah. Were we to ask God, 1 second before he murders, is he going to murder? Or before he is Mizana, is he going to be Mizana? Alzen nashiv she adam yemos bereishis v'kodem kikadmon yisparach shekein yiyah. So the answer is yes, God knew. Im kein, kevin shiyada shiyachtazah, bezos, haim yitachin achshav haishtano shelo yaseh zos? Is it possible that he not do this? Now, of course, those, the Medrash Mo would answer, no, again, you're making the same mistake. You're saying God's under the auspices of time. He's tachas chekazman. He's not. Essentially, then, what the Or Sameach is basically saying is that this answer is still something that we, who exist tachas hazman, can't really comprehend. In the end of the day, you're going to have to rely upon what the Rambam said, which is that his yediyah is different than our yediyah. His knowledge, in this case, is outside of time versus our knowledge is within time. That's something that's very hard to relate to, and therefore, even if philosophically speaking, this is a good answer, but it's something that's hard to get your teeth, sink your teeth into. It's not. That's the point. The point is it any easier to understand? And what the Or Sameach's point is really it isn't much easier to understand. There are other answers. If you look in your source sheets, we're not going to do it today. There's a answer of the Maharal, which could be found in his second introduction to Gvuros Hashem. There is here, too, a rejection of that answer by the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach really has a long and fascinating piece on this topic. He wrote it in his youth. The Or Sameach, one of the reasons, it's quite interesting, because generally we think of it as a non-philosophical work, and mostly it's not. But in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, he does get into this a lot. He also deals with it other places in Meshech Chachma as well. And I would encourage you to read it. What we're going to turn to now is a different approach to answering the question. An approach based on chassidus, perhaps a more mystical approach. And we're going to look at a couple of pieces from Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin on this topic. A brief biography of Reb Tzadok. First of all, a disclaimer. I've not learned a lot of Reb Tzadok. I often don't understand Reb Tzadok. I'm in no way an expert in Reb Tzadok. I'm not an expert in virtually anything I teach, but certainly not Reb Tzadok. And therefore, we'll try to work through it together. I'm going to explain it as best as I possibly can, hopefully we'll come out with the correct interpretation. Now, one of the reasons why I'm doing Reb Tzadok in this year, besides the fact that they're of course beautiful pieces, is that part of the purpose of this shiur is to introduce you to various types of thinkers. Reb Tzadok is actually a thinker that has had a resurgence in popularity over the last couple of years, and therefore it's important to see him and to read him together, and we'll do our best to understand. A brief biography. Reb Tzadok lived from 1823 to 1900. He came from a quasi-Litvisha background. He wasn't a true... his family was in a town that was receptive to Hasidim, but he was raised mostly by his uncle, and his uncle was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So he didn't come from a typical Hasidish background. He was very brilliant and known from youth as the Eloi of Krynik, which is where he was from. And he got married very young. There was some issue relating to his wife, some sort of chshad. There's a lot of legends about exactly what happened. But for whatever reason, he felt that he wanted to divorce his wife. She refused to accept a get. And therefore, he traveled around Europe, especially Poland, trying to get the greatest Talmidei Chachamim alive to sign a Heter Meir Rabbanim. And in the course of that, he had a chance to meet, really, some of the greatest thinkers alive. He became a Talmid of the Ishbitzer, of Mordechai Yosef Liner. The Ishbitzer, as those of you who study him know, is certainly one of the most radical and fascinating Hasidic thinkers. After the Ishbitzer Rebbe was Nifter, he became a Talmud Chaver of Reb Leibel Eger, whom he learned with for 30 years. Following Reb Leibel Eger's Petira in 1888, he finally, though after much refusal, accepted to become a Rebbe, and he became a Rebbe in the end of his life. We have a number of his farm. Some of his farm we actually believe we don't have. Those that weren't published before World War II were destroyed along with the Warsaw Ghetto. But we still have, he was quite prolific, and we have a number of his Sfarim. First of all, we have a number of his halachic writings. His tshuvos are called Tiferes Tzvi. And when you read his works, you see that he was a gaon, not just in Nister, but in Nigla as well. Many times he interweaves them together. For example, if you look at the Sefer Takanas HaShavim, where he talks a lot about tshuva, and especially tshuva from Hotzah Zer Levatal and other issues. So he interweaves Nigla and Nister brilliantly. And he goes from one to the other, back to the first and back to the second. And his style is quite unique. He wrote Sichas Malachi Ashares. Tzidkas HaTzadik was his first published work. We're going to see some pieces from there. Those are like short snippets on seemingly random topics. There are themes. Resise Laila, Machshavos Charutz, as I said, Dover Tzedek, Likutei Ma'amarim, Takanas HaShavim, Yisrael Kedoshim, Pokad Akarim, and another very popular work were his drashos, the drashos that he gave at the end of his life once he was a Rebbe, and they were collected ala Torah under the title Pri Tzadik. Rav Tzadok's influence was quite profound. If you look at the works of Rav Dessler, Rav Gedalia Shur, Rav Huttner, Rav Moshe Shapiro, you'll see a lot, Rav Cook, you'll see a lot of Rav Tzadok. Frequently, it's not quoted by name, but if you're looking for it, you'll recognize it. And as I said, it's something that's become much more popular among, as I said, Talmidim of Rav Huttner, Rav Moshe Shapiro, and the like, and also in academic circles. Dr. Brill wrote a book on it a couple years ago. There are many articles on Rav Tzadok's conception of the history of halacha and the like. We'll go back to it, Rav Tzadok, maybe one or two other times this year on a couple other key topics. So let's begin. And we're going to start off with a very difficult passage from Tzidkas HaTzadik Os Mem. So he writes, Iker HaTshuva Hu Ad Sheyayir Hashem Einav Shiu Zdonos Kizchuyos. So this notion of Zdonos Kizchuyos, of Tshuva Me'ava, is described in the Gemara in Yuma, is one which we are all familiar with, but Reb Tzadok is going to give a fascinating understanding. Ratzolomar, Shiakir v'yavin shekol ma shechata hayagam kein beratzon Hashem yisbarach. The recognition that even the sins that he has done were also beratzon Hashem. Now, what does that mean, that the sins that he did were beratzon Hashem? Does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to sin? So presumably it does not mean that, at least on a simple level. On a simple level, you might simply say it means that we can grow through our chatayim. The notion that through chatayim and through the process of tshuva, tshuva does not just allow us to wipe away our past, but allows us to grow from the experience of sin. The notion of b'makom shebali tshuva omdim ein tzadikim yicholin lamod, Rav Huttner's famous explanation of Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam, it's not that despite he fell seven times he became a tzadik, but that is precisely because and through his falling seven times he became the tzadik. That might be what he's saying. In that sense, his chatayim are ratzon Hashem because he grew through them, but he's really saying a little more, something a little more radical. Perhaps a good mashal to this would be the famous explanation of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Nefesh HaChaim, of Ein Od Milvado. Reb Chaim Volozhiner is explaining the Gemara in Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Chanina said that Kshafim essentially have no power over him because Ein Od Milvado. And the Gemara asks, but one second, doesn't Kishuf mean Mechashvim Pamal Yishamala, that somehow or another, through Kishuf, there is the power and possibility of subverting the divine will? Now, just to digress for one moment, perhaps again later on in the year we'll have a chance to discuss the notion of Kishuf. Does Kishuf exist or does it not exist? Certainly, the approach of the rationalists like the Rambam was that Kishuf is not existent, never existed. It's simply sleight of hand, illusions, just like a Copperfield or Houdini, so too the Mechashvim of Paro. It's not something that actually ever existed. Generally speaking, the more mystical thinkers assume that no, that Kishuf does exist. Well, why don't we see it now anymore? So here too, Reb Tzadok has a very, very powerful explanation about this. Again, maybe later on in the year we'll have a chance to return to it. But Reb Tzadok basically explains that Zel umazeh bara Elokim, as the pasuk in Kohelet says, that there are equal, or if not equal, opposite forces in the world to allow for Bechira Chafshis, and in a world of Nivuah and Nisim Geluyim, then there were powers of Kishuf and false forms of false prophecy. Just like there were in a world of Nisim Geluyim, one could not deny the existence of the supernatural. There wasn't a Nisayon with atheism. The Nisayon was a polytheism. It was Avodah Zarah. And therefore, when there were Nisim, there had to be Nisim Geluyim, that is, there had to be opposite powers of Kishuf and the like. These exist within the Mareches. They're above Teva. They're something that's created by God and comes from God, but they actually do exist. The reason why, for the most part, we don't see Kishuf nowadays is because nowadays we live in a world of Hester Panim. We live in the world of Tarsha Baal Peh, not Tarsha Bechsav, and therefore there's no longer Kishuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself, and the Zel Umazeh is no longer Kishuf and Nevuah Shel Sheker, but other things. So there is such a concept of Kishuf. Again, the truth is, according to the simple reading of the Psukim and the simple reading of Chazal, the Rambam's position notwithstanding. And what does Kishuf mean? The Gemara says, Kishuf means Mechashvim Pamali Shomala. Somehow they're able to subvert the divine intent. So the Gemara asks, how come Rabbi Chanina wasn't worried? And the answer, the Gemara says, is Shani Rabbi Chanina Denafesh Sechusein. The way the Nefesh HaChaim explains this is that Rabbi Chanina understood and truly believed Ein Od Milvado. And to the extent that someone has internalized the notion of Ein Od Milvado, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing exists ultimately beyond or besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Kishuf, which exists on a lower level, perhaps above Teva, but still well below HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has no power over them. So if someone truly believes Ein Od Milvado, then Kishuf can have no effect on them. I'm sure you're all familiar with the famous Skula based on this Nefesh HaChaim, the stories about the Brisku Rav during the Holocaust and the like, So that's a mashal, perhaps, to understand this idea here that Reb Tzadok is saying, that a person has to understand that everything is Ratzon Hashem, meaning to say, in a certain level, it all is Ratzon Hashem. We exist because of Ratzon Hashem. When we're Chote, we're able to be Chote because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koach to be Chote. And therefore, when somebody realizes this, then that is Tshuva Me'ava. Now, like Reb Chaim Volozhiner points out, realizing this isn't so simple. I can't just say, oh, okay, everything is Ratzon Hashem. If I truly realized everything was Ratzon Hashem originally, I never would have sinned in the first place. like the internalization of Ein Od Milvado, which means that you're never going to be worried about all sorts of other things because you believe that nothing exists besides Ritzono Yisborach, so too, the notion that Reb Tzadok is explaining is something which is not easy. Tshuva Me'ava is not something which is easy. And then he brings a number of psukim to support this. Kemosha Amruzal, Shlosha Psukim V'chule, V'ata Hasebosa Es Libam. So Reb Tzadok, as you see here, writes quite cryptically. Some of the newer printings of Reb Tzadok a lot of times will have footnotes which will refer to the psukim or the chazals, the vechules and the vechules and the vechules that Reb Tzadok are referring to. Here he's referring to this Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says that Eliyahu heitiach dvarim klape mala, that Eliyahu was almost chutzpadik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, "Ata hasebosa es libam achoranis," that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are responsible for the Jewish people sinning. He accused God for being the source for Klal Yisrael sinning. Klal Yisrael, in a certain sense, weren't responsible or weren't fully responsible. It is your fault, God. And that's what the pasuk says in Sefer Malachim. Now, there are a number of psukim of this sort. And if you look, you have to ask, well, what is, let's say, the Rambam going to do with a pasuk like this? So the Rambam deals with this. The Rambam, hopefully we'll get to it today. In the next parak of Hilchos Tshuva, which we didn't do, the Rambam explains that there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away Bechira Chafshis, not just from an individual, like in the case of Paro, but perhaps even from a whole generation. And that's what the Rambam does with these psukim. Reb Tzadok seems to go a little further. Reb Tzadok says that this is reflective of the fact that Chet too is Ratzon Hashem. And the Gemara there continues and says, Minayin Shechazar Kadosh Baruch Hu v'hodelo l'Eliyahu, that essentially God agreed that Eliyahu was correct, that he was responsible for the sins. Dechsiv, this is a pasuk from Micha, v'asher herosi, that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, caused the people to sin. The simple reading of the pasuk is it's a messianic prophecy. The Gemara says that this is a statement of God's admitting that Eliyahu is right. I caused them to do evil. The Gemara then continues and says there are three psukim that indicate this. V'asher harosi, the pasuk we just said. Hine kechomer biyad hayotzer, that human beings are like chomer biyad hayotzer. It's interesting. Perhaps that's the reason why we sing this pasuk so much on Yom Kippur. Because the context of the pasuk is, according to the Gemara, is that to a certain degree we're not responsible because we're kechomer biyad hayotzer. We're asking for forgiveness. So we're really kechomer biyad hayotzer. Of course, that's not the context that we use it in the liturgy. We're using it in a different context, but it's an interesting remez. Now again, almost all thinkers, Reb Tzadok included, do not believe that this is a source for lack of free will. Reb Tzadok was a strong proponent of free will. Again and again, he writes about the existence of free will. So the notion that he's stating now, which seems to contradict free will, and we're going to have to try to understand it, perhaps we won't be able to, is not one which Reb Tzadok felt contradicted free will. And finally, the third pasuk that the Gemara quotes about this is V'hasirosi eslev ha'evan mibsarchem, which the Gemara understands implies that to some degree we have a lev ha'evan. Okay, there are a number of questions. I'm going to take them now, but if they're on this Reb Tzadok specifically, we might be better off waiting a couple minutes to finish. We're still mid-sentence. Yes? It certainly relates to it. I don't think Reb Tzadok went as far as the Ishbitzer in this respect. And we're going to see shortly a piece in Reb Tzadok where he quotes the Ishbitzer on this very topic. But yes, it relates to it. But again, what it doesn't mean is a denial of free will. That's clear from Reb Tzadok. Do you have your... Right, so that would be possibly another makor for this line of thinking. Excellent. So Rav Tzadok continues, uketam yedia ubechira. So this relates to the secret, our topic of discussion, the contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. Shabir HaRizal, Besov Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef, that the Arizal explained at the end of his Sefer called Arba Meo Shekel Kasef, Sheshneim Emes Kol Echad B'makom Bifnei Atzmo. B'makom HaBechira Sham Ein Makom L'Yediyah, U'V'makom HaYediyah Sham Be'emes Ein Makom L'Bechira. Meaning to say, in the place of divine foreknowledge, divine knowledge, there is no freedom, and in the place of freedom, there is no knowledge. They both exist, and they're both true, but they're true in different spheres, and therefore in the place of Bechira, there is no Yediyah, in the place of Yediyah, there is no Bechira. Now, what in the world does this mean? So, at first glance, what this means is that indeed it's a paradox. Now you could say, well, this is the same thing as the Rambam. The Rambam also said it was something that we can't understand from our perspective. Divine knowledge is different than human knowledge. We can't understand it. We can't understand it here as well. The truth is, as Rabbi Yitzi Blau points out, that this might be going further. It's more paradoxical than the Rambam, because the Rambam is saying that we can't understand the resolution to the contradiction because we can't fully grasp what divine knowledge is, but there is a resolution. In other words, there are two things, Yediyah and Bechira. They both exist simultaneously. They don't contradict each other, though it's hard to exactly understand how they don't. He might be going further. He's saying that God knows and he doesn't know. There's free will and there isn't free will simultaneously, in which case it's even more paradoxical than the Rambam. But to the extent that I don't fully understand this, Einlan Oesek Ben Nistaros, I think what he's saying is that ultimately when everything comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there isn't a stira. And in a certain sense, yes, B'makom Yediyah Sham Ein Bechira, but practically speaking, that doesn't mean we don't have Bechira in our existence, because our existence is B'makom Bechira, and therefore Sham Ein Yediyah. It's true that when everything goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, everything else besides God's will dissolves. There is nothing else, like we were saying before, Ein Od Milvado. Yet, where we are, we still have free will. Yes?
I mean, just what he said, Makom Shein Yira might mean in a place or time when there's no Bechira. So, in other words, Hashem knows everything. Every now and then, Hashem decides to suspend his knowledge. That's called the Makom Shein Bechira.
So, you're suggesting, and that's a possibility, that essentially is limiting divine foreknowledge, like some of the other approaches we said before. The problem with that is that then it is, and it also has nothing to do with what he's trying to explain. Remember the context. He's trying to explain why tshuva me'ava nasus donos kizchuyos, because everything is Ratzon Hashem. So he's trying to explain how even chet is Ratzon Hashem to some degree, and he's answering that based on the notion that b'makom yediyah sham ein bechira, and because ein bechira, the chet was Ratzon Hashem, and because the chet was Ratzon Hashem, to the extent that the person internalizes this, so therefore it's nasa zechuyos. Let's continue. Ukshemasig le'or zeh atzum. As shavu kolz donosa bilti yotzim me'omek yediyas Hashem yisborach v'hu v'da'ato ritzono hakol echad u'me'achar she'Hashem yisborach ratza kein harei hakol zechuyos v'zoche l'kapara gemura she'biyom hakipurim she'ze sod ha'se'ir la'azazel she'ilu aso adam atzmo hayovid avodizara gamor v'hu lo yiyah. So here we need a little bit of biur. The Reb Tzadok is explaining that if somebody internalizes this notion that everything, even the chatayim haritzono, is barach, so that will lead to tshuva shleima, and that is why we bring the seir la'azazel on Yom Kippur, which otherwise would be idolatry. So what does this mean? Reb Tzadok in a moment is going to allude to the Ramban. So let's go back to the Ramban for a moment, explain the Ramban, and then we'll go back to Reb Tzadok. The Ramban on Seir La'azazel, in his Perusho al HaTorah, is probably one of the most perplexing Rambans Vayikra Perk Tazayin that you will ever see. In fact, when you first read it, at least when I first read it, it sounded to me like Avodah Zarah. It's very surprising. So let's try to explain a little bit what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban begins by explaining that the term Azazel is not, like Rashi explains, namely a harsh place, like a rocky desert, but rather it is an evil power. And he first cites Ibn Ezra, who says that this could be alluded to with the number 33. So if you look at the footnotes in Chevelle, he'll point out what does 33 mean. It means you have to count 33 psukim. And in 33 psukim, the pasuk says, "V'lo yizbuchu od l'se'irim," that they will no longer serve or offer karbanos to se'irim. And that's the se'ir la'azazel. What does this mean? So the Ramban says that the Seir La'azazel is a allusion or a corresponds to Ish Seir, namely Esav. And this corresponds to Samael. And this corresponds to the Sitra Achra. And this is the source for Kishuf and all sorts of other evil things in the world. So what does this mean? So the Ramban quotes a very important source, a number of sources, but we'll read one. This is from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Mem Vav. And Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, what is the idea of the Seir La'azazel? Lefikach nosnin lo shochad b'yom ha-kippurin. The Seir La'azazel is shochad to Samael. Again, Samael is the term used in the Medrash on Yom HaKippurim. Who is Samael? Samael's acting as the kategor. He's acting as the prosecutor of the Jews, bringing forth their sins to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We placate him by offering him shochad, the Medrash says, and after we do offer him shochad, then he joins our team, as it were. He no longer prosecutes us, but instead will help in our defense. That's what the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says. What does that mean? So the Ramban explains. And if you want to follow along, it's in the footnote on your source sheets. V'zeu sod ha'inyin, ki hayu ovdim l'elohim achirim, hem ha'malachim, osim lahen karbanos, v'hem lahem l'reach nichoch, k'inyin shenemar, v'shamani v'katarti, nasati v'ktorasi, sorry, anasata lifnehem. V'lachmi asher nasati l'cha, soles v'shemen v'dvash, notice the dvash, ha'achilticha v'nasatihu lifnehem l'reach nichoch v'hinoam Hashem Elokim. So the psukim and Yechezkel are talking about how the people would offer karbanos to Avodah Zarah. V'ata tzarich lizbonen b'kasuv b'mikrov nisar. So now we have to understand this. For Ramban, Ramban here is describing a picture of evil, the forces of evil. Avodah Zarah is not just absolute ridiculousness. That doesn't reflect anything else, as certainly the Rambam, for example, would explain. But there's something to it, and that is, V'hine HaTorah Asra L'gamri Kabbalas Elahusam V'chol Avodah Lahem. The Torah prohibited accepting idolatry in any sense, meaning to say, accepting the divinity of idolatry. Aval tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'yom HaKippurim shenishlach se'ira b'midbar l'sar ha-moshel b'mekomos ha-chorban. To the sar, remember the Ramban frequently talks about the various sarim, the angels that represent different forces. Here is one of the ways in which Kedushas Yisrael and Bechiras Yisrael is expressed, that all the other nations are under the dominion of the sar. The sar is a malach, who of course is under the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means to say is that the Hashkacha is less direct. When we do the sugya of Hashkacha, we're going to talk about this again, and we'll try to explain the Ramban's notion of how there are different levels of Hashkacha. V'hu hara'ui lo mipnei shehu ba'alav u'me'atzilus kocho yavo chorev u'shmamon. From the emanations of his force, namely of this Sar, of Samael. So destruction comes to the world. Kihu ha'ila lekochve ha'chera v'adamim v'amilchamos. It's the source of the kochavim of cherev, damim, melchamos, umirivos, v'ha'pitzayim, v'ha'makos, v'ha'pirud, v'ha'chorban. V'ha'klal ha'nefesh l'galgal ma'adim, which is a reference to Mars. V'chalku min ha'umos hu esav, shehu am ha'yoresh ha'cherev v'ha'milchamos. Esav is the worldly manifestation of this power. Umin ha'behemos ha'se'irim v'ha'azizim. That's why Esav is associated with Seir. Uvechelko od hashedim hanikraim mazikin b'lashon rabosenu. Shedim and mazikim b'lashon chazal are under his dominion. Uvelashon hakasuv seirim ki ken yikra hu v'umaso seir. Okay, and here's the key line. Until now, you read this, you think that he's talking about some type of dualism, some type of koach to evil that exists independently of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some sort of fallen angel or power that fights good. But the Ramban tells us that none of that is true. Even though we're offering a karban to placate Samael, this does not mean that we're actually offering him a karban from us, chas v'shalom, that would indeed be avodah zarah. Aval shetia kavanasu lasos ritzon bo'enu shetzivanu kach. Our kavana is to do ratzon Hashem. Now we'll see in a moment that is why Reb Tzadok brings this in. Reb Tzadok is bringing this in because we are showing that even this is ratzon Hashem, even offering the karban to this seir, offering the seir mishdalayach, the seir lazaza. But we have to first, before we get back to Reb Tzadok, understand the Ramban a little better. As I said before, this is not some form of idolatry, of dualism, of pantheism, of Zoroastrianism, Rachmana Litzlan. The Ramban gives a very important mashal. He says, imagine that a king is making some form of banquet. Really, the Midrashim give this mashal. Some form of banquet. And the king says, I want you to give a gift to my servant. In this case, the Nimshal, the servant, is Samael, is Azazel, and God is asking us to give a present, a gift, to his servant. The gift is the Seir LaAzazel. If we take the Mashal seriously, which we're supposed to, what emerges is the following, that the Seir LaAzazel, the Azazel, the Samael, what the Zohar calls the Sitra Achra, that is a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is like all the other malachim. It is a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is not a force that opposes God, Rahmana Litzlan. He is a servant of God, like all the other malachim. And therefore, he too serves God. His goal, like all the malachim, is to serve God, to bring greatness and glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does he serve God? He serves God by acting as a kategor. This is important for Bechira Chafshis, for Nisyonos. It is part of justice. Part and parcel of justice is the necessity for a kategor, a necessity for Samael. But ultimately, he too is an Eved Hashem. The mashal is that we give him a gift, just like we give the, just like in the mashal, the Melech says to give a gift to the Eved HaMelech. And that way, all of the Avdei HaMelech join in the Suda. So Samael too joins in the glorification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, by including him in the service. And we include him in the service by sending him the Seir, LaAzazel. So that's the idea of the Ramban Bekitzer. Now we'll go back to Reb Tzadok. Reb Tzadok says that Shezehu sod Seir LaAzazel. Shilu asahu ha'adam atmo hayoved avodah zarah gamor v'hu lo yiyah. Right? Again, if we were to offer the Seir La'azazel absent a command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that would certainly be Avodah Zarah. It's exactly what Avodah Zarah is, in fact. Shehu Yesod Kol HaMitzvos Lo Saseh. Avodah Zarah is the source of all mitzvos lo saseh. That can't be. V'chol Averos V'hahasaros Miratzon Hashem Yisparach. Rak Shesair Hu Al Yedei Ratzon Hashem Yisparach. Shehu Mitzvah L'Shalcho Lo. Like the Ramban said, it is Ratzon Hashem. It is fulfilling God's commandment. It is sending the gift to His servant. Nase od mitzvah. And thus it too becomes a mitzvah. The lo avera. The chen pirshu chazal. This is the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that we just quoted before. The ayin beramban, parshas achrimos, that we quoted. Shanu nos den chelak la'azazel shu arami tzad ma shehu yizbarach tziva laseis lo. V'nimta ha'avera mitzvah. So Reb Tzaddok is saying, beautiful. The avera is a mitzvah. Because what's the yesod of tshuvan yom kippur? It's that every avera is a mitzvah, because every avera is ratzon Hashem. And when somebody is makir that, then zdonos nases chuyos, that's the resolution to the contradiction between yedi and bechira, and hence on Avodah Zarah, the Yom HaTshuvah, we dafka show that even something that would otherwise be the biggest possible avera, it too is a mitzvah, it too is ratzon Hashem, zdonos nases chuyos, because even the averos are ratzon Hashem. Now, should you think this is a crazy idea, it's chasidus, it's... But besides, in a certain sense, being the simple reading of the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar and Ramban and the like, many other thinkers take the approach. If you look at the Netziv, quoted here in the footnote as well, in Harchiv Davar, his lashon is, Ukiyote b'zeh shnei se'irim ha'achad l'shem hu ha'kedusha ve'achad la'azazel hu ke'en karban l'kochos atoma. Chas v'shalom. Avol mikol makom bizmano uve'ito Shetziva Hashem Hareze Mitzvah. Could have quoted Reb Tzaddok. Uvolu Lamdenu Shegam Ka Chatuma Mekor Chiyuso Hu Achad Yisborach. Which is exactly what Reb Tzaddok is saying. Yes.
So even if it's a mitzvah, how does that help, right? I mean, it's an asei docha alav sheish bo misa.
It's not asei docha lo saasei, because it's not a Avodah Zarah, since it's a mitzvah. In other words, it's like, you don't, the pshat in the kruvim, in the aron, is not begeder ase los docha los ase, in the normal sense. But it's actually, if you're learning Yavamis now, so you could think about it in those terms. It's an interesting perspective. But yes, you can't ask the question. It's hutra. It's lo nemra. V'chi agavna. Certainly, nobody would say it's v'koshi hetiru. Yes, Nathan.
It seems like a complete parallel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu makes it into a mitzvah and no longer has a category. Oderos on Yom Kippur. So it's something that
you're correct.
The whole process that we have to do to turn the oderos into a mitzvah. It doesn't necessarily seem like it says anything about...
I agree. It's symbolic. I don't think he's saying it's a perfect parallel, but it's symbolic, and in that sense it is a very powerful and strong symbolism. Again, this recognition that Reb Tzaddok is saying is not necessarily something that's easy. If it were so easy, everybody would do it. But like all explanations of tshuva, it's something which requires a lot of work to internalize this value, and it requires a lot of transformation, because had you realized this before you had sinned, you wouldn't have sinned. Rav Tzaddok elsewhere alludes to a number of problems here. One of the things he says is, if everything is Ratzon Hashem, then I could sin in the first place and say, this too is Ratzon Hashem, what's to stop me from doing that? And he says, no, it's only afterwards and not before. And he elaborates on this point. He says, though, in fact, in many ways, this was the source of many sinners. He tries to show this was the makor of Elisha ben Avuya, of Acher. This was his mistake. This was the mistake of some other people. And again, Reb Tzaddok speaks about this in many, many places. I want to read a couple more paragraphs from Reb Tzaddok, where hopefully he'll flesh this out a little more. So the next one we'll skip. It's from Tzidkas HaTzadik Oz Kuf. It's along similar lines, but because of time, we'll skip it. We'll go to the next piece on our list. This is from Tzidkas HaTzadik Os Kuf Lamed. This is another hard one, and here he's going to take this idea in a slightly different direction, one in which I think we'll be able to see a point relating to tshuva that's very powerful for us as well on a practical level, a very interesting psychological insight. Reb Tzadok, one of the reasons why his writings are so powerful is, besides, as we saw now, being very philosophical and mystical and the like, they're also are full of very deep and insightful psychological insights. Reb Tzadok writes, "Af al pi shabechira nesuna la'adam, mikol makom ein adam yachol hishtanos mishorasho v'ikaro." Even though a person has bechira, a person cannot change his root and his principle. This might mean his personality, also means his shoresh nishmaso, as he's going to explain shortly. So we do have freedom, but he seems to be saying here we're limited in our freedom. There are certain parts of us, components to us, that we can't change. However, to jump the gun a little bit so we're not confused when we read it, he's going to say that these two can be changed supernaturally. Meaning to say, there are certain components of us that we're capable to change on our own, naturally, as part of normal bechira. There are certain components of our nature which relate to our essence, and these things cannot be changed on our own, but only with divine assistance. Uke'osa she'amru, af al pi shechata yisraelhu. We know the Gemara, af al pi shechata yisraelhu, that a Jew, even after he sins, is still a Yisrael. Rashi, in a number of tshuvos, invokes this principle to explain how even an apostate remains halachically Jewish. Reb Tzadok elsewhere actually goes at great length based on this principle to try to show, to go against a certain thinker, we'll have a chance to discuss this more when we do Bechiras Yisrael, who held that, like the Gaonim, that when a person does reject their Judaism in a certain sense, they lose their Judaism. And Reb Tzadok saying, no, what's the idea, Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, that since their shoresh nishmasam, their root, is Yisrael, so that's something that can never be changed. Dehu misharsha v'giza kadisha, it's from their holy root. V'chein amru tava lo have bisha. The Gemara says in Brachos, something that's good can't become bad. That's the Gemara. It's talking about Shmuel HaKatan, that after he wrote Birkas Haminim, he was davening for the Amud and he forgot the Bracha. And the Gemara said that maybe we should eject him, because the halacha is that if someone seems to be hesitant about saying Birkas Haminim, then we're choshish that he is a min. And the Gemara says, no, Shmuel HaKatan, who himself wrote it, certainly could not have strayed in that sense. Tava lo ave bisha. Imlo b'ramei karo, unless it's ramei karo. V'chein amru tina haisa b'liba. Meaning to say, even though Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu, there is the possibility of even a Jew being ramei karo. And he proves this because we know the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek li'olam haba, she'nemar v'amech kulam tzadikim. Kol Yisrael has a chelek in olam haba. Why? Because at their root, they're tovim. And therefore, Tov belongs in Olam Haba, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim. So since Klal Yisrael, their root is Tov, Mimela, they have a Makom in Olam Haba. But then the Mishnah, of course, continues. It's not in the song, but it continues and says, Chutz, from a bunch of people, Gechazi, and one opinion is Menashe, and kings, and Hadyotos. So the Mishnah is inherently contradictory. What's going on? First we say Kol Yisrael, and then we say Chutz. It's not really Kol Yisrael. So Reb Tzadok says, no, the pshat is that because those who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba are people who in their root, in their essence, are not Tov. And therefore, anyone who's Yisrael has a chelek li'Olam Haba, because about Yisrael we say Yisrael afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. And those then that don't have a chelek olam haba are not bechlal Yisrael. So it's still true that kol Yisrael yesh lem chelek olam haba. And here he invokes the Gemara in Chagiga, tina haya belibam. Here it's referring to the Gemara. The Gemara talks about how Rabbi Yehuda was very nervous, because he said, look at all these great people throughout our history who were massive Talmidei Chachamim and then went off the Derech. Acher and Achitofel and Doeg HaDomi, the greatest Torah scholars, and yet they went off the Derech. Rabbi Yehuda said, what's going to be with me? And Shmuel placated him and told him, no, Tina Hayabaliban, even though they were great scholars, but they always had some type of mud in their souls. And Reb Tzaduk says, what does that mean? That means that they weren't Tov B'Ikaram, they were Ra B'Ikaram. V'chein lehepach, Bisha lo have tava. Bad can't become good. Meaning someone's Shorish Nishmasu is bad, they can't become good. Afal Pisha lo ratu chazal agala, Hagemira b'feirush mikol, probably b'gemar, b'feirush mikol makom giluhu b'sod b'kamen mekomos lemevinim. Ve'alze amru botsina mikatva yadua. This is another story in Brachos. The Gemara says how Rav and Abaye were asked by Rabbah at a very young age, lemi mevarchim, it's in the sugya of Zimun. And one of them pointed at the sky, and the other one went outside and pointed at the sky, and he said, ah, you see that botina mikatve yadua, that the small pumpkins are already discernible, already, even when they are just sap, meaning to say you could already see very good from the roots. It's the opposite notion of tina hayabaliba. And the context of the Gemara is, again, these people who became great leaders of Klal Yisrael already at youth were able to show this greatness. Rak, Hashoresh hazeh ne'elam mikol abruim. This shoresh is hidden. Dezeu besod hayadia v'abechira she'niskashu hakadmonim. Again, a reference to what we saw earlier. Ki liba lepume logali. A person isn't really fully aware of their inner heart, their inner essence. U'lekach matzinu gam ken chotim she'amruzal she'en lam chelok yolam haba. Like I said before. Ve'emo chelok yolam haba haynu she'ikr chasem en ha'sefer v'shara shora. Ulekach leman de'ar b'menashe en lochel kelom haba lo ho yilu lo tshuva ki me'achar dikaro bisha v'lachein amar idach demir yedei bali tshuva, saying this is going to weaken the resolve of bali tshuva v'lachein lo gilu chazal b'feresh, therefore chazal didn't make this point so much. Aval be'emes ein ze ripoy klau ve'en kan makom harich, it's not a true ripoy, as he's going to explain. V'hu, here's the key. Nasal yedei peula so ubechira so lira. Reb Tzaduk is now seemingly uprooting what he said before, which is that how does a person become bad b'shorash nishmaso al yedei bechira so lira? A person is capable of choosing evil freely al yedei bechira to such an extent that then God transforms their root and their essence to evil. If someone is truly evil, let's imagine Hitler, it's not necessarily true that he was born that way, but it's also not true that it's external. It's inherent. It's essential. It's his root. Because if you choose evil, then you can become truly evil. And that's a supernatural transformation. And that's what happened with the Jews that became Ra. Those who don't have a chelik in Olam Haba, Acher, and the like. So on the one hand, their shoresh is ra, but at the same time, they got to this state by freely choosing it. Again, here we see Reb Tzaduk embracing the paradoxical.
So what do you call their state before they choose that?
So, b'makom she'yedia sham ein bechira, and the like. In other words, and that's why it's l'mafreya. They might have started off normally, but then they choose to change their they choose actions that cause their essence to change. And once their essence has changed, then retroactively they've always been evil, because that's shorish nishmasam. And then he says the same thing is true for tshuva. V'chola Torah kula male mizeh. V'nemar lev tahor b'rali elokim. David HaMelech, in the capital on tshuva, asks God to create for him a new heart. Reb Tzaduk is medayik, bira li alokim. The term bira always refers to bria yesh me'ayin, certainly in mystical thinking. Rambam actually disagrees. That's how he explains the notion of
Yotzer or uvorei choshech osa shalom uvorei asara. For the Rambam, for rationalists, bria is something which is not yesh me'ayin. It's heder. It's the absence of good. Just like darkness is the absence of evil. I'm sorry, the absence of light. Ra is the absence of good. But those who adapt a more mystical teaching understand that bria is yesh me'ayin, as the Ramban explains in Parshas Bereishis, the difference between bria and yetzira, as you see in Nefesh HaChayim. And so if the Pasuk says Lev Tahor Birali Elokim, so the Pasuk is telling us that it's possible to have a Bria Yesh Me'ayin. What is a Bria of a Lev? It means a transformation from Ra to Tov. Ubria Hu Yesh Me'ayin. V'hainu Shemeachar Shezeh B'yadu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mo'yil Rachmei Shemayim. Since it's in God's hands, then Rachamim works. Like we said, like the other answer, you see Reb Tzadok alluding to that point that God is not under Zman. So he brings a number of beautiful diukim for this yesod. One is a famous medrash. You can see it here in a footnote. It's a Yushalmi as well. The medrash says that Shalu le chachma chote ma'ancho, Shalu le Torah chote ma'ancho, Shalu le nevuah chote ma'ancho. And each one had an answer, but it wasn't tshuva. Even Torah said Yavi Asham v'yiskaper. Nevuah said, Chachma said, Chatam Tirdof Ra. Nevuah said, Vanefesh Chatas Hitamus. The notion of tshuva was impossible. And then Shalul HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chote Ma'on Shal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yasa tshuva v'yiskaper. What does this mean? It means, next week, I guess, we're not going to get to it this week, next week we'll see a beautiful interpretation of this medrash from the Maharal in the Siva Tshuva. But what is Reb Tzadok bringing out from this? Reb Tzadok is saying that from a perspective of wisdom, tshuva doesn't make sense. From a perspective even of Torah, there can't be tshuva. You need some type of asham. You need some type of kapara. From a perspective of nevuah, tshuva doesn't make sense. Only from the perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because tshuva allows for the transformation of something which is in its essence evil to something good. And he continues. This is the pshat in the psukim of Yechezkel. The psukim uveshuv tzadik uveshuv rasha v'amartem lo yitachein derech Hashem. Yechezkel perk Yudches is a perk all about tshuva. And many of the famous psukim, if you learn it, are of tshuva here. Hanefesh chotas hitamos, like we just said. The psukim say v'harasha, if the rasha goes back, then ki yashuv mikol chatav asher asah v'shamar kol chukosai v'asah mishpat utzdakah chayo yechya. And likewise, if the tzaddik goes back, he will die. Hachafot zachpot mos rashan umashem halo b'shuvo midrachav. And then the pasuk says, pasuk chaf hei, v'amarten. Yechezkel says, you, the people, ask, lo yitachein derech Hashem. This notion of tshuva is impossible. Reb Tzadok explains. What does it mean when the Jewish people ask, the notion of tshuva is impossible? Uvevadai dashotim lo nizkar b'kasov. We're not talking about idiots who ask tshuva is impossible. Rakem atava uvisha meikaro amro. They're asking about this fundamental transformation when someone changes from something which is ra in its essence to something which is tov in its essence. V'heim chashvu shegam heim mevinim v'alze amr lahem darcheichem v'chulei. Yechezkel answers hadarki lo yitachen halo darcheichem lo yitachenu shatem ein yodim klal bazeh. You don't understand this. Even Torah Chachma Nevuah can't understand this notion. Ukshehem yisbarach mekablo az mizgalu lemafrei de'ikar kach. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megale this, because again, b'makom yedia ein bechira, b'makom bechira ein yedia, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megale this transformative tshuva, then it turns out that it's chal lemafreya. This is our last time meeting before Rosh Hashanah. So just to point out, this is a yesod which I think we could find very helpful. It's true that most of us, hopefully, are not ra meikaron. We're not, our roots, our essence aren't ra. But at the same time, this idea is very powerful, because we know, Chazal say, that when Adam is chote v'shana, nasa lo keheter. When it comes to tshuva about certain things, it feels impossible. Whether from a psychological perspective, because we see this is our essence, we feel this is who we are. If this is who we are, we can't change it. If we've become so accustomed to it, we can't change. It feels like it's too hard, you know. I just can't daven. Wish kavana, I can't do it. There's so many things that we feel that we can't do. And in fact, Tzaddok actually talks about certain types of nisyonos, which might be beyond a person's power. We'll talk about that next time. But what Reb Tzaddok here is telling us is that might be true with respect to normative tshuva. Normative tshuva cannot address certain types of things which relate to our inner essence, our inner being, our inner hearts. But there's a certain type of tshuva, tshuva only possible with siyata d'shmaya, with rachmei Hashem, in which one can indeed transform their essence. And that's the yesod. That's the secret of tshuva, the mystical tshuva, the tshuva that we can't understand, that humans can't understand, that even the Gilui of Torah can't understand. But that too is possible, and that too is the avodah of Yom HaKippurim. And when one is able to do that tshuva, it's chalim afreya, and in that sense, the chataim were ratzon Hashem, and in that sense, nasim lo zechuyos. Everyone should have a ksivach simatova, a good geben shiar. Thank you so much, and a good Shabbos as well. Thank you.